listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say? The heck is repartee?
Fun, bantery conversation.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Paget, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
And it's just your friends Doug and Hunter in today. Brett's off living the high life out there in California. Thrilled for him. Speaking of living the high life, Hunter Haas, Amy Klobuchar running for president, and rumor has it from Facebook and our little chat a moment ago that you were there, that you were breathing in the exhale.
I indeed was there.
And paint the scene for us. I've seen some video. I listened to it on the radio. And I was trying to get down there, but the weather was horrible, and my schedule didn't really allow for it. So I just had to paint a picture in my eye, in my mind, rather. So tell me, what was it like? What was the feel? What were you sensing? Does this seem like it was something monumental, something meaningful, something that we're going to look back on and say, God, I wish I had weathered the storm that day and made my way down to see the...
She could not have timed this better because, like I told Matt, that it was just like how Prince's Super Bowl, how the rain was coordinated perfectly during a set. It was like the snow was coordinated because it just kept building and building until she took the stage and it was just the perfect snowfall. And it was so funny watching people's heads get full of snow. The video was hilarious when I looked at it later, and everyone's heads.
What kind of a crowd was it? Was it large? A large crowd? It was a little hard to tell from the videos that I saw.
It was larger than President Trump's inauguration. There was a lot of people. There was way more people than I was expecting. I was like, who's going to go out to this? I was thinking a couple hundred people, but no, there was thousands. And there was people lined up all around the stage. And then there was overflow areas where people were standing up on hills to see it. So I'm like, wow, this is a real deal thing in the middle of winter.
Right. In the middle of winter. I was really surprised at their choice of an outdoor rally feel. That was a little shocking. Is it because they didn't have the money to rent an indoor place?
So their plan backfired, but what they were trying to do was they set up the stage so the downtown Minneapolis skyline would be in the back, but the snow got so bad that none of us could even see it in person. It was just white behind us.
Well, at least she looks good with a white background. I thought she looked fine. I'm reading an article about it here, and it says that in her 20-minute speech, which that seems about right, that was about 20 minutes, she called for, and then it lists what she called for: universal health care, cheaper prescription drugs, comprehensive immigration reform, an end to fear-mongering and hate, a more stable foreign policy, stronger ties with allies, action against climate change, universal background checks on gun sales, a constitutional amendment to limit corporate political donations, automatic voter registration for 18-year-olds, stronger data privacy, and full nationwide internet connectivity. That's a list. what's shockingly absent from that list is the desire to remedy childhood cancer, like the president of the United States said he was committed to. But other than that, she sort of had the whole ran the gamut. That's a laundry list of things that she said she's about. Did it feel like you were a part of some kind of a momentum, some kind of a story? Did you feel like you were in a flow of some kind by being there?
Yeah, it was. I've been to a lot of political rallies in my life, and there was something special about this one because I've never been to a presidential announcement rally, but it did carry an aura to it that people were really excited, and you could tell you were at something special. And I mean, everything contributed to that. The fact that it was outside in Minnesota in the winter, it felt like something special.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I'm interested in people's thoughts on her rollout, on her on the way she's postured herself in this. 952-946-6205, of course, the phone number. And I'm interested in what people think. Not so much, you know, would you support Amy Klobuchar? Do you think she's too centrist? But just sort of how she's handled herself in these early days, sort of introducing herself to the national stage. I found a couple of things curious in her comments. I thought when she said toward the end, and this is off my memory, I'm not reading this from a script, but she said something along the lines of, I don't have a big political machinery. I don't come from money. What I have is grit. And then she said, so, you know, that's what I've got. I got to tell you, that landed a little flat for me, frankly. Like, sounds like you're saying you're not ready to run for president, right? Like, I don't have any. And it was curious that what she chose to, you know, so she said, okay, here's the things I don't have, because I'm sure all the pundits, all the analysts, all the fundraisers are saying things like, well, do you have a, how big is your political machinery? How many small donors do you have? What's your connection to the party? How well known are you around the country? All these kinds of things that have to do with, you know, getting the nomination for the Democratic nomination and then going on to the general election. You have to have all that. So she's saying, okay, compared to some others, perhaps that kind of world, I don't have all of those people. And said, I don't come from money. So, like, I don't have money and I don't have organization, but, you know, I'm a go-getter. I'm not sure how well that floats. So maybe some of the listeners, they'll think that carries well. To me, it felt like somebody that's sort of making, I don't know, maybe she was trying to highlight the fact that she has grit and that she's, you know, kind of an outsider. But I don't know. It felt to me like someone who's making early excuses for why they're not going to, you know, carry like the other candidates. So I found myself just thinking, had her response been, but what I do have is you, the American people that want to see a different country, right? Like, I join you in this big movement that we're a part of. I'm not sure for any candidate, and, you know, candidates don't ask for my political advice, so I just have to offer it up for free. I'm not sure it helps any of them to describe to the voters what makes them so special. I think voters will figure that out, and pundits will do so. I don't think candidates should be telling you what makes them special. I think candidates should always be saying that the hope of this country, that the hope of our political movements, that the thing we have going forward is that you as a candidate are joining with these other Americans in making our American political system something unique and something special and something that's going to serve all people and it's going to lean people forward. So I'm not entirely sure that part of her rollout, her introducing herself as not being very well connected, not having much of a network, not having big money behind her, but that she's got grit. I'm not sure who her decision makers were on the rollout and how they're doing that, but I'm not sure that went so well. And then after the break, I'd also like to get people's feedback on this obviously broiling story that has been well known in certain circles in Minnesota, that Amy Klobuchar has had a reputation of treating her staff and other people with some anger and frustration and cruelty and meanness and all that. I was watching a bit of news coverage on that here this morning, and some of the political pundits were saying, look, they come out with this stuff all the time. These are anonymous sources. Nobody knows about this. But if you've been around some of the Minnesota political scene and have been listening in, you know that those are longstanding critiques. Those are not new. That's not because she's running for president. This came up when she first ran for the Senate. And those, you know, have been litigated in some way, shape, or form in the Minnesota political decision. But now at the presidential level, at this national level, it rises to a whole new thing. So, Hunter, what were you feeling about any of that down there on the ground yesterday? Did the speech go over well? Did her be pitching herself as a person of grit? Did that seem to land well?
Yeah, but so those accusations, I don't exactly know what that's supposed to mean. Because do you think Donald Trump is a good person to work for or cares about any of his employees? But he still president. So, I mean, I'm not really seeing what I'm supposed to feel about that story.
I'll give you a hint on how some people are thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
If the accusations are true, that she has anger issues, that she throws things at people, that she has outbursts of cruelty to her staff, that she makes them cry, that she basically runs an abusive office environment. It doesn't really matter who your competition is or what anybody else has done. That is something that does not sit well with most people. Most people, sometimes in sports, people get away with this, yelling and screaming at each other and kind of creating a hostile work environment. But if that's going to be something that lingers in her reputation, if it was true when she was a prosecutor here in Minnesota and came up in the first Senate or first senatorial campaign, I was hearing about it long ago, rumors about this. If Harry Reid did have to confront her as a sitting senator because they were getting complaints from Senate staff, being someone who creates a hostile work environment, whether you're male or female, whether it's violence or it's aggression or it's sexual misconduct, a hostile work environment is a hostile work environment. And if that's true and that's come out and she starts to rise in the polls and she starts to take off and people start coming after her, these anonymous sources are going to switch and become very, very, very publicly known people. Stuff like this, as we see in all other scandals, doesn't stay quiet for very long. So we can talk about that when we come back. Maybe some callers, but Hunter, let's you and I chat a little bit about it too, because I think you raise a really good question. Are you grading on a curve, or do some sort of issues sort of feel like they're evergreen and they just override whatever the situation is? It's something that I'm sure Amy Klobuchar is thinking about, and maybe she's going to respond to in ways differently than she has up until now. So the number is 952-946-6205. This is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll be back here after the break, AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Do you or someone you know need dental care but can't afford it? Join Shamblot Family Dentistry for their 13th annual Dentistry from the Heart event, a day of free dentistry for those in need. All patients will be seen on a first-come, first-served basis. No appointment required. Dentistry from the Heart provides free, limited dental care to those in need. This event is for new patients only. Shamblot Family Dentistry has given away more than $320,000 in free dentistry through Dentistry from the Heart. The 13th annual event will take place on Wednesday, February 13th at Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and in their new St. Paul location at 400 Selby Avenue in the Blair Arcade. Starting at 7 a.m., Dr. Shamblot and his team will treat as many patients as possible. It's first come, first served, so patients should arrive early. For more information about this opportunity for free dental care, visit ShamblotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Newsflash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. Ellie 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real, and it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland stoves and fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hey, I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and I want you to join us for Repartee on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Well, thank you, Julian. That's exactly what people are doing, because it is 4:21 on this fine Monday. Doug Padgett in with Hunter Haas. And I was thinking about that Woodland Fire and Stoves commercial. And it said, it takes the chill out of winter. Boy, I could use that today. A little chilly today. It's got that winter feeling. More snow coming. I'm not the weather guy around here, but I hear other weather people talk about this. And apparently it's going to be big snow tonight. Another 4 to 6 inches or something crazy. We are feeling full winter glory here in Minnesota. And Amy Klobuchar was feeling that yesterday when she was down there at what I thought was an odd location, Boom Island. I get being outside, but Boom Island, whatever. They picked an outdoor location on over in Northeast Minneapolis. And so she made her big announcement. And of course, it's been captured with this other conversation about accusations of how she treats her staff. And that's it's never good when your rollout as a candidate has some kind of controversy around it, at least the kind of controversy that you that you're trying to avoid. And Senator Klobuchar has tried to respond to this. I've listened to a couple of her interview responses, basically by saying, "Yeah, I'm tough. I ask a lot of my staff." I don't think that that's the critique. I don't think the critique is that you push your staff too hard. I think the critique that people are raising, I don't know that they're true. I've only heard them as accusations. Of course, never experienced it. Never talked to anybody who's worked for her. I've only talked to people who've been friends with people who worked for her. So I don't really know. But it's anger issues and a hostile work environment is what I have heard in that way. And we have Julie in Minneapolis. Hey, Julie, I appreciate your call. I'm interested in your thoughts on this topic.
Yeah, I just want to throw out three quick comments and leave room for other people. When are we going to have the same standards, you know, for our candidates? For instance, when I think of the filth that surrounded the Trump, when he was a candidate, you know, the 20 women that accused him, his first wife who accused him of violence and rape, you know, just the endless, you know, his 6 bankruptcies, endless areas of how he treated people, and he's president of the United States. So let's have a little equality. Let's have a little bit of quality about how we judge people. I heard those rumors too. I read about them in the paper, et cetera. The other thing I want to say is I kind of agree with your comment about, you know, her fine point was, you know, I have grit. It kind of reminded me of Hillary Clinton when she was running against Obama. She said, "I'm a workhorse and not a show horse." Well, nice. Guess what? The American people like a show horse.
Yeah. They like
a lot of other things with it, too. But and I kind of agree with a prior caller who said, I don't know if Amy really thinks she's going to win this time. I think she may be positioning herself for 2024. I guess you have to raise like $1 million a day to run for the presidency. Maybe she was reaching out to small donors. We'll have to see how that works. But I hope down the line, Americans are just as hard about the Republican candidates as the Democratic ones. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Great comments. I appreciate that. No, I agree. Look, I think we should hold every candidate from every political party or for any office to the same standards. Absolutely. And we should certainly hold men to the same standards that we do women. And I do think that a lot of men have created hostile work environments and people don't critique it as hard as they are critiquing Senator Klobuchar. I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I kind of ignored this story, because it reminded me a lot of what happened with Lori Swanson when she entered, and it does seem like it's a different standard for women. So I kind of just cast it off aside. I didn't know the details, so he started telling me here on air, actually.
Yeah, no, and look, that's all true, and that's part of the lingering legacy of the problem with men getting a pass on things like this. Men should not get a pass. They shouldn't. If you're creating a hostile work environment, if you have employees that are scared to work for you, if there's people that are talking about, you know, mental health breakdowns because of the way you berate them in front of your their fellow team members and other people, like, that's just inappropriate at every level. And I think it's inappropriate in sporting events where it happens, where a coach yells at someone in front of it or yells at referees. Like, we should stop yelling at each other across the board in every way, shape, and form. But this argument that Donald Trump is really bad. Okay, if the argument, I think this is sort of what Julie is raising, and I get it. Like, maybe you can win that way. But I think a lot of us want all of our politicians to, first of all, not have some of these overall presenting issues that are going to be a problem. Look, Donald Trump barely won. And by winning with the kind of reputation that he had, he diminished the presidency and diminished for a lot of people their trust in the political system to choose the kind of candidates that we should have as president. Like, the damage done by that guy with that reputation becoming the nominee and then winning is really, really bad. So I'm not sure that that's always our best argument. Now, look, no candidate is perfect. Everybody has a past. If Amy Klobuchar comes on and says, look, I've dealt with anger issues in the past, I've worked on these things, much of this is very public, and I've done what I can to reconcile with staff people. And, if that's what the story is, I don't know. Maybe the story is it's not true, and these are just disgruntled employees that are throwing barbs and so on. It's a little hard to imagine that you get a whole lot of people over the course of many years that are making the same accusation. That's the part that feels a little bit strange to me. Makes me think there's something there. But this is complicated. It's complicated with all of our candidates. But this is our Minnesota senator, first of all. I mean, her first elected role that we should think about her is not that she's a presidential candidate currently, but that she's a senator. And if these things are true, we should talk about this as a senator. If she's creating a work environment for Senate staff, of course you'd want to talk about all that. But it's really heightened when you get to this conversation about running for president. Hey, Charles in Maple Grove, what are your thoughts on this Amy Klobuchar situation?
Oh, hey, how you doing? So as I've been listening to you guys, the one thing that sticks out to me is we keep talking about how, you know, I feel like we're kind of doing a disservice to Amy Klobuchar. Like, mm-hmm. What are your feelings on Kamala Harris, right? Like, mm-hmm. she's very strong, you know, she's very progressive, you know, she's got very much the same background as Amy Klobuchar. You know, she was a prosecutor, she was tough on crime, you know. I feel like, and I believe that maybe Hunter and Julie, our last caller, probably agrees with me that I think we're holding them to a different standard. You know, these are really notable women who have, you know, made huge advancements in their careers. And, you know, Amy Klobuchar has, I don't know, in my opinion, has probably one of the best records as a senator, you know, as mm-hmm. as far as working mm-hmm. across the aisle, you know, as far as getting things done. I mean, she's shown that she's there. She's there to work. You know, I feel like we're kind of just doing a disservice to our hometown candidate by, you know, pointing out these, like, this is a flaw. This is a flaw for her to be, you know, a strong leader. And
yeah. Look, Charles, I mean, I'm all with you. If the argument was she's a strong leader, I would be, you wouldn't hear anything from me. I mean, Amy Klobuchar does well. She is a strong leader. If in addition to that, there's credibility to these accusations of creating a hostile work environment over a number of years to the point that that Senator Reid, as the majority leader, had to reprimand her and tell her to knock it off. If it had risen to that level, we're talking about then something that's not about being a strong leader and not about your record and everything else. There's a temperament issue in there. And look, this temperament issue came up with John McCain. You might remember. It was suggested in 2008 that John McCain was temperamentally unfit to be president because of his rage. He was a classic rager. This was a really, it was sort of a big deal. So I get it. But look, here's what I'll say. Amy Klobuchar is a national figure. She was asked about this question on the Today Show today. This is the front question that people are asking because it's in the flow. If the hometown, as you put it so eloquently, if the hometown crowd can't deal with this in Minnesota, if we have to cover our heads and say, well, we just don't want that, we don't want to talk about that, that does not bode well for her. Her best bet is to deal with that in Minnesota, get people in Minnesota to be comfortable with whatever those claims are and her responses to them, and that should launch her on her national way, so that she can say the people of Minnesota are comfortable with me. They've heard these accusations. They've heard my responses to them. They're comfortable with me, and we're moving on. That's where I think. So I actually think we're. I hope we're doing her a service. And as always, with every time we've ever reached out to Senator Klobuchar, we'd love to have her on the station on this show. I'd go to her. She can call. We can tweet it back and forth. Any way she wants to do it, we'd be glad to talk about these things. But I think it's better for the progressive voices of Minnesota to get really comfortable with Amy Klobuchar on these critiques that are being raised about her. And at the same time, I agree with you. It's really iffy material to have to talk about, and I feel it on the edge there. Hey, we've run a little long, Robert. I know that you're holding. If you can hold on, and Julie, maybe you could call back, or you could hold on to, or give us a call back here after the break on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on Minnesota Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature. Going back to the State of the Union that took place earlier this week, the Equal Rights Amendment has certainly been getting more play, especially in light of the State of the Union address with all of the female congresswomen wearing all white. We've also seen this get a lot more play in the states over the past few weeks, especially during the Women's March. What's happening in the State House in terms of the Equal Rights Amendment? Has Minnesota already ratified the amendment, or are we still trying to renew that? What's happening with that?
Well, Minnesota has ratified the amendment. We did that a long time ago. But what we are doing is proposing a constitutional amendment for Minnesota's constitution for equal rights based on gender. And so in Minnesota, to get a constitutional amendment passed, it has to receive a majority vote in the House and the Senate, and then it's submitted to voters for a plebiscite, basically, a referendum vote on the next general election, which would be in 2020. And the amendment would have to receive a majority of votes cast there in order for it to become law. There's also a resolution asking Congress to extend the sunset, but generally speaking, resolutions from the House or Senate asking Congress to do something, are maybe worth the paper they're printed on, but not much more.
One of the things we've seen happen in some other states, I believe Oregon is one of these states, is automatic voter registration. We were talking just off air before we jumped on how it looks like in the House we're trying to get that passed with automatic voter registration. Can you explain what exactly that means, how people would automatically get registered, and where that bill is out in the House?
Sure. Automatic registration would be a process. So if you turn 18 and you've got a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. You could opt out of the system if you wanted to, but it's basically changing it so that you're automatically registered to vote if you engage on various activities like getting a driver's license. And that bill is up in the House this week. It is going from the the bill was up in the Government Operations Committee this week on Tuesday, and it's moving on through the process. And I think it will be part of a package of election reform bills that we will pass that will also include restoring the right to vote for felons who've served their time in prison.
That was your legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM 950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM 950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, scattered flurries with a low around 22. Tuesday, winter storm watch, snow, high near 26. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 16. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. The menu is comprised of snacks, bruschettas, and small plates designed for sharing but is sure to satisfy your appetite. Located at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis, find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee, something like that.
Yeah, it's witty conversation back and forth. Hey, Hunter, I noticed in one of those earlier breaks that you were talking about the Blue State Ball coming on March 2nd.
Indeed.
And you said, come dance with me.
I am the DJ.
Oh, okay. I see. I thought you were offering up your yourself as a dance partner.
Oh, I will still do that as well, too.
And you're DJing.
All the guys and gals who want to dance with me.
All the guys and gals. I heard that one. That's great. You're DJing. All right. Are you running a particular theme there for the March 2nd?
Well, I am actually taking requests. You can either call the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with your request or email comment at AM950 Radio, and I'm making notes of all of them. I've already got a list compiled of listener requests. So, yeah, the entire month of February, feel free to make requests for the Blue State Ball.
Would they be branded? Like someone could say, hey, and this one goes out to Robert, who requested that we play Brandy.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Robert, I think we've still got Robert from still with us from Native Roots Radio.
Hey, how's
Robert.
Going?
All right, buddy. How are you thinking about the Amy Klobuchar candidacy, my friend?
So I just got to give you a quick rundown here. I'm not a big Amy fan. 3 years ago, I was at the fair, and Hunter knows how much I love the fair, and I talked to her, and she pretended that she didn't know anything about Standing Rock. And then the next year, I came, and NPR had her on, and I asked her a question about Line 3, and she told me, basically, I better get used to pipelines, they're here to stay. And then also, she loves killing wolves, and she was quoted as saying that I would be the first person to kill a wolf once the wolf hunt happens. So I'm not a big fan. I just wanted to throw that out there and keep up the good work. And I just wanted to say, hey.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. I didn't know that she was supportive of wolf hunting. There's a very Minnesota specific question that I think people should ask of candidate Klobuchar. She's simultaneously, you know, I bring this up a lot when any of our seated officials spend their time running for another job. She's a senator, but also a candidate for the presidency. Hey, Jimmy in Vandas Heights, what are your thoughts on this, on Amy Klobuchar and her big announcement?
Well, Harris and Cory Booker and many others, it's going to bring on a lot of voters, a cross-section of people, to help awaken us to the problems with the right-wingers that are trying to push a hidden agenda against us. It actually, it's not so hidden if you think about it. Look what's happening in Honduras and Venezuela and various other places that are allegedly caused by right-wingers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to broaden the spectrum for our Democratic Party, bring out people like that, and vote for their conscience, but vote for a better world. I've been active in politics since the days of G. McCarthy, Hubert Humphrey, Dr. King, and Bobby Kennedy, about 50 years. big apartment system way back then. So I appreciate you listening and pass on the good message to world peace and clean environment. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. Hey, and hope to see you over on March 2nd at the Blue State Ball with that kind of reputation you've got. You could dance it with Hunter. Love to see you over there.
Woo!
Hey, Julie, different Julie. We have Julie's galore, which is really great. This Julie from Minneapolis. Hey, Julie, what are your thoughts on the Amy Klobuchar candidacy?
Hi, I can hardly hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you great. We can hear you great.
Okay. All right. I think it's good to have this big, wide field in the primary, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay. So I don't think there's anything wrong with Amy getting into the primary. But I do wonder if you guys know what the status of the reporting on her qualifications as a good boss, manager, staff manager. I mean, if these claims are true, she's not qualified to be president of the United States. And it really bothers me that maybe she isn't. And, you know, of all things, she's got to be a great boss if she's going to sit in the Oval Office and head how many departments? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's 15 departments.
And also hostility in the workplace is, I believe, a federal offense. So
I'm not sure what kind of violation it is.
Yeah.
I hear you, Julie. Thanks. Thank you, Julie. We really appreciate that. And yeah, see, this is the question. Now look, these accusations that have been made that she creates a hostile work environment and people don't like working for her, that could all be in the category of, hey, you don't want to work for someone that treats people like that, right? I don't know that in and of itself means that someone wouldn't be an effective president. We have had presidents who have been very aggressive to their staff, who have been very crass and very, you know, I'm not saying Amy Klobuchar is being crass, but we've had presidents who have been just ruthless. And I've had some that have been very sweet, and sometimes they put the hard work off on their chief of staff and some other people. So it might be that the country says, okay, look, we know she has these accusations in her background. We know that people have said this and who've worked for her, but we think she'd still be a good president. These are not necessarily, in my mind, disqualifying for being a president. I think we're better off having a world in which no one has to be in a hostile work environment. I think no one should be in one. I think morally it's the wrong thing. I think that if you're working in a hostile work environment or family members are in a hostile work environment, you should get out of that as fast as is possible that you can get out. We shouldn't tolerate it. We shouldn't pass it forward. We shouldn't turn a blind eye to it. But somebody who creates a very hostile environment. I mean, look, to berate this story of sports coaches, a number of sports coaches have become famous and have become very successful at coaching because they yell at their players, but their players also feel like they love them. Now, I think it's sort of an abusive relationship that you could think Bobby Knight in the basketball world or football coaches that scream and yell and throw clipboards and all that kind of stuff. But some people, they thrive in that, and maybe some good things come out of it. So it could be that Amy Klobuchar just has to own up to the fact that she is a passionate person, and that many times those around her just find her to be too much and they don't like working for her. And she should just, maybe that's what she means by I'm really committed and I'm moving on. I don't think it necessarily means that it might mean that you don't want to vote for someone like that. It might mean you would hope we wouldn't have a president like that. But if it comes down to having to make a binary choice between this candidate and that candidate, that might be something that people can tolerate. She's going to have to deal with it. Look, it's not going away. It's going to be there. And the more she rises, this stuff comes around. This is what's true of every presidential candidate. The issues that haunt them the day that they announce are the issues that haunt them to the day that they try to win the nomination. It stays with you. And if you don't have a decent response for it now, you're going to have a decent response for it later, because it's not going away. That's just the way that it works. Hey, let's go to Patrick in Apple Valley. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, good afternoon. Say, I wanted to weigh in on Amy Klobuchar's chances. I don't think they look very good, and because of the crowded playing field already lined up with the Democrats, you've got Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, possibly Joe Biden. I mean, I just don't know that she's going to make any waves in that kind of a crowded field.
You think that she can't, she won't stand out from the rest of them in a way that if people have all those choices, they're the majority is going to lean toward Klobuchar.
Exactly. I just don't think she will stand out amongst some of those other, you know, very high profile names and, you know, the high profile attitudes and the trust that they've already gotten. It's almost like she's behind the pack.
I think you're right. Yep. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling. I think you're onto something there. I think she's definitely coming from behind on that. That's why she said she doesn't have a big operation. But maybe once people hear her, she rises above. It could be that this analysis and these questions about how she's treated her staff actually cause people, that keeps her in the headlines, causes people to keep paying attention to her. I think there's an argument to be made there.
So before we go to break, I want to touch on this for a second, because I spoke with Andrew Yang about this, and he pointed out how the Iowa caucus is about 200,000 people that vote for it. That's who determines who wins Iowa, the Democratic caucus. Mm-hmm. And so this year, with so many candidates, you're going to need about 30,000 people to vote for you to win the state of Iowa. So the fact that Amy Klobuchar is from Minnesota is going to be more familiar to Iowans than maybe the rest of the country, gives her a chance to maybe pick up those 30,000 people. Mm-hmm. So if she wins that Iowa, then she is one of the front runners going forward just because of how the field is configured this year. So I wouldn't say that she's a total long shot, that she does have a actual opportunity at this, I think.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. Hey, Mark, if you can hold on over the break, we'll throw you into the repartee, our fun banter and conversation here after the break on Minnesota's Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wallow Power Radio Hour. You are listening to my buddies Hunter, Doug, and Brett on Minnesota Progressive Repartee, broadcasting on AM 950 in the heart of Eden Prairie, which is neither Eden nor Prairie.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates, so if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything
except your intelligence.
Coming up, what do we owe future generations?
Well, for one thing, we owe them a habitable planet.
But they don't even exist yet. Why worry about them?
Well, we're grateful to previous generations for everything they did for us.
Yeah, but the past is over, Josh. The future isn't here.
Not yet, but it's coming.
What do we owe future generations? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
We are sleepwalking into a disaster. Climate change is burning down our forests, flooding our coastlines, and parking the polar vortex in our own backyard. What can we do? Please join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska for a one-hour talk from meteorologist Paul Douglas on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul's new book is called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. This talk is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series hosted at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. It has the Big Red Rocker out front at 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by the Southwest Metro and Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, Interfaith Power and Light, and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
Hello, this is Andrew Yang, Democratic candidate for president, and you're listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Welcome back to the Repartee. I wanted to talk about more than just Amy Klobuchar today, but that's kind of gobbled up all the time. I also want to just give a mention to the Grammys. Hunter, did you watch the Grammys?
I did, actually.
Yeah. I recorded it, but I haven't watched it yet. And I saw a headline that referred to it in USA Today as unwatchable. did it seem unwatchable? Was it?
I was criticizing it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It seemed right. I didn't know there were so many Grammys that people won. I had a whole list of them we could have talked about today that were all over the place. But one of the things I noticed in the Song of the Year, This Is America song, I don't think the writer, a producer, singer of that song was there, right? There you go.
I had it in the bumpers.
Did you? Yeah. Good for you. Yeah, the Gambino. That's fantastic. He wasn't there, was he?
No.
He didn't show up. God, I respect that guy all the more. I mean, that's gutsy.
He was a part of a coordinated campaign to not show up because of the lack of representation of black people in the Grammy Academy.
Good for them. Anyway, that was a whole thing going on. But we're gonna stick with Amy Klobuchar for the next couple of minutes because that's what we have left. And by the way, Hunter, I didn't even bring this up to you. Do you hear my Siri talking back to me? I was noticing on Facebook you have a big long story of you in a picture with Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah, that picture is actually from last year's Blue State Ball. So people. Get your tickets to Blue State Ball. But
is she coming this year? Is she your dance partner again?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
But yeah, I have a very personal connection. I'll talk about this more in depth tomorrow. But
good. Yeah. Okay.
Basically, Jim Klobuchar became friends with my mom and would invite us over to dinner at his house when Amy was just a city attorney. That's how I met her, and I've watched her grow her entire career, so it's been very exciting. And
Super fun.
That's how I always think of her, as Jim's daughter from those
and
days.
And then is it right that you were the one yelling or cheering out loud at the at her?
It was my mom.
It was your mom?
So she started talking about her dad, and my mom goes, "Yeah, Jim!" And then Amy goes, "Thank you, person cheering."
That's an awesome story. All right, let's cut to Mark over in our friend in Friendly. Hey, Mark from Friendly Fridley. What are your thoughts on Senator Klobuchar running for president?
Hey, guys. I actually have a working relationship going back with her to 2006 when we met, and we discussed in detail then the impact of big technology and private contractors on illegal U.S. citizen government domestic surveillance, but we'll get into that later if we can. But for one thing, this election is November 2020, and we're starting this crap in February 2019.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing their jobs. They should stay in Washington. They should focus on what they need to focus on rather than running junkets and raising money for their campaigns. We should have at most 12 months, at best 6 months. To run for elected office. If you can't get your message out in 6 months or 12 months, get out of the way. And there was basically the most important line of Trump's State of the Union speech was a throwaway line ignored by all of media. And he said that 17 years of the 9/11 wars have cost our country and our people $7 trillion and 17 years and loss of millions of lives. That was neglected. And during Amy's speech, she mentioned that John McCain was her mentor in the Senate. Mm. That should be disturbing and troubling to everybody. If there's one capacity, and again, don't get upset with me if it's the truth, but she's got the number one endorsement of Senate Republicans. She's endorsed by George Will. And these wars, she has to speak or take accountability for her actions in those wars. Everybody can say we want a better world for our kids, and we want every student to have a good education. We want everybody to have access to affordable prescriptions. We hear those throwaway lines from every politician that gets in front of a microphone. Like Childish Gambino, he took a stand. What should have been the biggest moment of his life, he says, I'm not going to tolerate the hypocrisy of this organization. I'm not even going to show up.
Yeah, so, no, I hear you, Mark. Thanks. I appreciate that a lot. And I'll tell you, this is the struggle, though, with people who then decide to run for the presidency. Like, unless you're running on principle as an anti-war candidate, which would be great. I wish people would. I'd be super happy if people did. I'm an anti-war hawk, right? I want no war anywhere. I think it doesn't work. It's a failure of every other viable option. And you only do it until you realize that you've exhausted yourself and you've reached a level of shame or humility, and then you stop. That's how war is. So I'm with you. There's no value in it. But if you're going to be run for the presidency of the United States, you are asking for yourself to be pulled into the complicity of being the commander in chief as one of your primary roles in this. And so anyone, I would venture to say, anyone running for president is asking for to be part of that illustrative crowd of people that have had to make a decision to send others into war and to use war as an option because other things were neglected and were a failure. So in some ways, even a candidate that wants to come out and say, I want to be against war, and then asked to be the president of the United States, that might not be the place where a person exercises their anti-war sensibilities. It's almost as if anyone who's willing to have that role is offering themselves up to that crucible. And your comments about should we only run for 6 or 9 months, maybe a year. I thought a little bit about this, actually, because I'm on people all the time when they're running for another office while they're in one. It strikes me, as I think it does you too, Mark, in your comments. It doesn't seem right. The problem is, it's a big country. To break through the noise, you either spend all your years grandstanding so you get enough national reputation so you can run for public office with only 1 year's notice, or it takes a long time for people to get to know you. So I'm actually, if we're going to say it's okay for you to be a seated senator and run for, or congressperson, and run for office, the presidential office, well, it takes a while for people to get to know you. It's a really big country. I don't think it's too soon at all. I think people should have even been doing it longer ago. Hey, this is Repartee, Doug Padgett, and Hunter Haas.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.